You know, I don't know about you, but when I went through elementary and high school, the first decision I ever made was that the teacher was going to like me more than any student in that class. I was going to be his favorite. Now, there was a price tag attached to favoritism in class. Everyone hated you. But I figured everyone wasn't going to give me my grade, only the professor was. So I could survive their displeasure as long as I didn't have to deal with his. And I'm astounded at how many people make the mistake of thinking that because God invited them to the feast, that he's also going to dress them and put the garment on. Well, God, if you want me that way, you'll have to make me that way. Well, if you want me to do this, you'll have to move heaven and earth and show me. You know, I'm rather tired of Christians acting as though they don't have a will. They don't have a choice, and they can't make up their own minds. I'm tired of people thinking that God is impractical and stupid, and that although the entire universe and everyone and everything they do is based on their initiative and their creativity and their willingness and their desire and their disciplines, God isn't that way also. What makes you think that just because you've been invited that God owes you favoritism? What is it in the concept of mercy and grace if you messed up to think that God owes you, that you're a special case, that you're going to get away with blue murder? When I read my Bible, no one gets away with anything.
That's right.
It even goes so far as to say your sins will find you out, buddy. The truth is this, ladies and gentlemen, as we look into this subject this morning, the chosen, the choosing is up to God, and he shows you the generosity of his heart by saying, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The choosing is broad, but favoritism is up to you. And I'd like you to give your last glance back over the year 05 and the ones that precede that, and I'd like you to honestly answer the question, what have you done? Excuse me. What have you done to become a favorite, seeing so much mercy and grace and truth has been poured upon you? Is the record of your past one of heaped up presumption and pride? Or is it of someone in hot pursuit? Someone in hot pursuit who says, you know, the invitation was broad. But favoritism is narrow, it's discriminating, it's prejudiced, it's biased. Let's face it, if we all went into a restaurant, we wouldn't all favor the same food. We're discriminating. Someone would have shrimp. Someone would have steak. Someone would choose a pork chop. Someone would just go for the tossed salad. And God is not unlike us, seeing we're made in his image. He has favorites too. He loved blue and he filled the sky with it. And he colored water with it. And they tell me it's one of the most peaceful colors in the world, along with green. He didn't like red a whole lot, and he made it hot and hostile and aggressive and violent. And we all shun it too. The fact of the matter is, folks, of some people, God says, I like that person, such as King David, a man after my own heart. He became a favorite of God, so much so that while he committed more evil and sin than Saul ever did, he was favored by God because David went out of his way to make sure that he was irresistible to God.